Would like to ask you this morning, if you will, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, and I encourage you to please turn there because we're going to be reading several verses of Scripture. It always helps if you'll look at God's Word while I try to read from God's Word. We'll be reading from Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning in verse 19, reading through the end of the chapter. Ezekiel chapter 18. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who spoke this world into existence and the one who shall bring it to close. Lord, we're thankful that we know that Thou hast promised that Thou would never leave us nor forsake us. And as long as we live in this world, though we face troubles and problems, we're thankful that we can feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We pray that we would walk each day in such a way that we would be able to feel Thy presence with us. Pray that You would strengthen us and encourage us, that You would guide us and direct us, that You would give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge that can come only from Thee. We ask You, Lord, to keep us mindful of Thy presence, because when we can feel and know that You're here, we find strength and grace to do that that's right in Thy sight. We pray, Lord, that You would bless all those who stand in special need of Thy help this day. We pray that You would bless those who have lost loved ones, that You would comfort their hearts, that You would give them a special measure of Thy grace. We pray that You would bless those who are sick and afflicted, bless those with cancer and other problems, that You would touch them and bless the medication and all that the doctors do for them, that it would be for their good and to the honor and glory of Thy great and holy name. We do beg You, Lord, to bless all the individuals and the families who are here this day. We pray that You would bless each one, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. We acknowledge that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We acknowledge, Lord, that we need Thee every hour. And we especially need Thee when we come to try to worship Thee. So we pray that You would help us in this hour, that You would lift us all up. Help us to concentrate on Thy holy word. Help us to hear the word of God and to be doers of Thy word. And we pray that You would help us, Lord, to all remember the brevity of life, that we're only going to be here a little while. So help us to live each day as if it's our last day on this earth. Bless all of our families and all of Thy people the world over. Be with our soldiers on foreign soil. We pray that You would be with them and bless their families. Bless all those in authority over us. Guide them and direct them. We pray in the name of our precious Lord, our Savior, the King of Kings, the One who has redeemed us, purchased us, the One to whom we belong. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The subject that's on my heart this morning is the subject of life and death. It's a very serious subject. It's something that all of us need to pay very careful attention to. When we talk about life and we talk about death, if a doctor were to sit you down and say, I have to talk to you about a life and death situation, I think you would take very special care to listen to what he said. I think that when God's Word talks to us about a life and death situation, it's more important than a medical doctor talking to us about a life and death situation. So God is talking here about life and death. Death is talking about, sometimes death is a natural death. We die. Our bodies will die and go back to the dust of the earth. That's a natural death. The Word of God also talks about a spiritual death or a soul death that we can experience. God's people, while they are still alive, their souls can die or be separated from fellowship with God. That's one of the main things the Bible is talking about here in this passage of Scripture. God is speaking to His people, Israel, and He's telling His people now, you better choose the right way, and you better do the right thing And when you choose what's right and you do what's right, you will live. Now, is that saying you're going to get born again? No. But you will experience the abundant life, just as death means separation from God. Life is talking about the abundant life that God's obedient children can have while they live here in this world. If we do what's right, in fact, listen carefully to what I'm saying. The choices that you make have a great, profound effect on whether you experience life or death while you live here in this world. A whole church, you remember the church at Sardis in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus makes this statement about that church. He says, "Thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead." Now, the church was dead. Does not mean that all the people in that church had physically died, but it does mean that that church was separated from fellowship with God. They were dead. You remember the prodigal son, when he went out and wasted his father's goods and robbed his living. You remember that when he came back, he said, the father said, "This my son was dead and is alive again." Had that prodigal son physically died just because he had left his father's house? No, but he has experienced the death. He was separated from fellowship with his father and fellowship in the father's house and the blessings of his father's house. And that's what this passage is primarily talking about, is that God's people, when they do what's right, they will live. And God's people, when they do what is wrong, they will die. They may die a natural death, but they certainly will die a soul death. Listen now to the reading of God's Word beginning in Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning in verse 19, reading through the end of the chapter. The Word of God says, "Yet ye say..." Let me just stop and explain the background here. Sometimes when we look at people and we look at how they're living, sometimes we think, and that's what these people were thinking, sometimes we think, well, the reason this person is acting this way and the reason he's living this way, the reason he's living an ungodly life, is because that's the way his daddy lived. Have any of you ever heard that or seen that or thought that? Well, the reason this person is living this way is that's the way his daddy lived. And the people here were concluding, well, the sins of the father are passed on down to the children, and the children can't help what they're doing. God condemns that thought and says that is a false belief, that just because one generation is ungodly, it does not mean that the children of that generation will be ungodly. The children of that generation are accountable to God for what they do. The father's generation are accountable to God for what they do. You do not need to ever think or believe that there is a curse in your family that's being passed down from generation to generation. We do sometimes follow the footsteps of our Father, but it's not because God has cursed us. It's because we choose to walk in ungodly ways instead of walking in the right way. Listen carefully now to Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning in verse 19. "Yet say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father?" You see what they're saying? "Doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father?" Here's what God says. "When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes and hath done them, he shall surely live." What's he say? You need not ever believe that just because the father does something, the children are going to have to follow that same pattern. He says in verse 20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." The what that sinneth? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. What shall die? The soul. James 5, 19 and 20, the Word of God says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death." And we need to understand that God's people can experience a soul death while they live here in this world. So he says in verse 20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from his sins, now listen carefully to what God says here. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. What's he saying here? He's saying that when a child of God has been living in an ungodly way, and he begins to repent, and he confesses his sin, and turns from that ungodliness, what's the last three words say here? He shall what? He shall live, he shall not die. Verse 22 says, all his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Verse 23 says, is God happy when the children of God turn away from him and die? Does that make God happy? No. God makes mention of that three times in this passage of Scripture. He asks the question in verse 23. God says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? That's what causes God to rejoice. God finds no pleasure in the wicked, in God's children, turning away from him and dying. He finds pleasure in them turning from their wickedness and living. The Bible says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that what? That repents. Verse 24 says, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, talking about children of God who've been doing right, when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned in his trespass that he hath trespassed and in the sin that he hath sinned. In them shall he die. What about David, King David? Did David do a lot of things right? Had David followed the Lord? He was a man after God's own heart, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Did all the good things that David did, did they deliver him in the day that he began to sin? All the good things that David did not deliver him in the day he sinned. When he sinned, he was judged by God for that sin. When he committed adultery, God came to him and took his son, and then the Word of God says that God told David that the sword will never depart from your house, and David suffered the rest of his life. David was separated. He suffered under the judgments of God. All the righteousness David had done did not deliver him in the day he departed. And don't you ever let the devil deceive you into thinking you've done enough good that you owe it to yourself and it'll be all right for you to do a little wrong. It'll never be all right for you to do a little wrong. When you do wrong, remember this. Be sure. Mark it down. Be sure your sin will find you out. Verse 25, yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Now, we're just a bunch of foolish people if we think God's way is not equal. And that's what these people are saying. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel. By the way, house of Israel, that was God's chosen people. Do you understand that? This is talking and representing all of God's children in every age and dispensation. Hear, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? Verse 26 says, when a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Save his what? We're not talking about the body, we're talking about the soul. He'll save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Is God fair in what he does? You go home and read and study this whole passage of Scripture, and you'll realize that sometimes we don't think God is fair, but God is fair. He sets up the rules. He sets up the standard. He tells us, now you live by these rules, you follow this standard, and you will live. You will experience abundant life. You will be refreshed. You will enjoy living if you'll do what I tell you to do. And if you don't do what I tell you to do, you will die. Now, let me say this. There is not only a soul death. There are times in God's Word when God literally calls somebody to die because of sin in their lives. You go and read and study the Word of God, and you'll find a number of examples in the Word of God where somebody literally died because of the ungodliness in their lives. Now come down to verse 30. Ezekiel 18, verse 30, the Word of God says, "Therefore I will judge you." Is God going to judge you? Not talking about Israel right now. Does God judge you in this building this morning? Does God judge you? Brethren, the idea that God's going to judge His people at the end of this time world and our good works, if our good works outweigh our bad works, then we're going to go to heaven. That's the doctrine of the devil. God is not going to judge me at the end of this time world for my works. But God does, listen carefully, God does judge His people according to their works while they live here in this world. The Bible says, Jesus saved His people from their sins. And then the Word of God says, the Lord shall judge His people. The Apostle Paul said, every one of us must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And brethren, I want all of us to understand this morning that every one of us, God's fair, God's equal, but every one of us, me and you and every one of us, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you're a child of God, you're going to be judged by God while you live here in this world. If you're not a child of God, you're going to be judged when this world is over. But God's children are judged according to their works while they live here in this world. And if I walk contrary to God's Word and God's way, I will die. And if I walk according to God's Word and God's way, I will live. It's a promise from God. He sets it forth. And God rejoices when we choose the right way. Listen to what He says in verse, I want to read 30, 31, and 32. Listen carefully. Verse 30 says, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent." You know, that's you studied the whole Word of God, and that's the one thing that's said more than anything else in all of God's Word. Repent. Repent. Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't make any difference where you go. The number one message that God gives to His people is repent. What does repent mean? Repent does not mean you feel sorry or feel bad about what you do. That's remorse. Repent is when you feel so bad about what you're doing that you turn from what you're doing and begin to do that's right. You turn away from evil and begin to do that's right in the sight of the Lord. That's what repentance is. And there are sins of omission as well as sins of commission. When I commit sins like adultery and drunkenness and looking at pornography and all the kinds of things that go on in our society today, when I do that's a sin of commission. I commit that sin. But there are also sins of omission. When God tells me to do things, when God tells me not to forsake the assembling of myself in His house, God tells me to study His Word, God tells me all these things I'm to do, God's Word tells me to visit. If I don't do what God tells me to do, the Bible says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Sin. That's what we're talking about this morning. That's what causes death. Sin causes death. Sin causes death. Listen now to verses 31 and 32. Verse 31 says, "Cast away from you all your transgressions." What do we want to do? We want to cast away some of our transgressions, but what does he say? "Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you..." Now listen, brethren. This is not where you get born again. This is where you have a heart revived. He says, "Make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" And then he says in verse, and that's the question I want us to think about this morning, "Why will ye die, O house of Israel?" And then verse 32 says, God says, "For I have no pleasure. I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore," listen carefully to the last expression, turn yourselves and live ye." God says, "Why will ye die?" And then he says, "Turn yourselves and live." Can you turn from your evil ways? Can you turn? Can you repent?
I want you to turn, listen, brethren, did you know in all ages of the world, what's set forth here has been set before every one of God's children? You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You know what God set before Adam and Eve? He set forth life and what? Death. Good and evil. Blessing and cursing. Did God do that in the Garden of Eden? You remember there was the tree of what? The tree of life. And then there was that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Did God set before them life and death and good and evil? And He said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And listen, brethren, they did die that day. They didn't die a physical death, but they did die. They were separated from the Garden of Eden. They were separated from fellowship with God. And God's people, many of God's people, are separated from fellowship with God today. They have died. And the question is asked in God's Word, why will you die before your time? Why will you still be alive and yet be dead? Turn yourselves and live ye. You know, I thought a lot about, well, this is the last Sunday of the year, it's the last day of the year, and I thought, well, and I have about five different things that I study this week to preach about the last day of the year. You know, forget those things which are behind, and all the different scriptures that just tie in beautifully with the last day of the year. Let me tell you something, brethren. This is more important than the calendar. It's more important than preaching what's on the calendar. It's what God has sent to us today. You either repent and live, or you continue in your way and die. Does that apply to the preacher? It applies to the preacher. It applies to every one of us. We can either repent and live, or we can continue where we're going and die. God says that Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, He says, I've set before you life and good and death and evil. What did God say? I've set before you life and good, death and evil. Therefore, He says, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Oh, it has a great impact and effect on our children when we choose life. He says, choose life. Don't choose death. Choose life. Choose to follow God. Choose to fear God. Choose to obey God. Turn in your Bibles. If you don't get anything else out of this message this morning, I want you to get this. I want you to mark this verse down. I want you to write it down. And I want you to remember it. Please turn in your Bibles. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Back up from where we're reading right now. And listen to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. This is the most important. This is a message that I almost spoke on last Wednesday night. It's a message that's been on my heart repeatedly. And I want you to listen carefully what Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13 says. And let me also say, don't you think about anybody else in this building or outside this building. You think about you when I read this verse. The Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, Proverbs 28 and verse 13, God says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Do you hear what He says there? He that covereth his sins. Have you ever tried to cover your sins? You ever tried to hide something? You did something bad, just kind of cover it up. Listen, brethren, this is what the Word of God is talking about. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You try to hide what you did. You try to pretend you didn't do it. You try to pretend that it wasn't that big a thing. It wasn't that big a deal. You try to cover your sins. You shall not prosper. It doesn't matter how many people pray for you. It doesn't matter how many people try to help you. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But, and listen carefully to the rest of the verse. He says, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Listen, that's a marvelous, beautiful statement that God's given us. If I cover my sins, I will die. If I confess and forsake my sins, I will live. So what had I better do? I better get very serious about sin in my life.
I better stop trying to cover it up, and I better confess and forsake my sins. You look through the Word of God, and you'll find people that did confess and forsake their sins, and they lived. You remember the saints of God at Nineveh, the people at Nineveh? You remember how Jonah went to Nineveh and said, did Jonah pronounce judgment on Nineveh? Did he tell them they were going to perish? Did he tell them they were going to die? Did he tell them they were going to be overthrown? And you know what those people did? Do you know what the next verse says after Jonah told them Nineveh is going to be destroyed? You know what the next statement is in God's Word? It says, and the people of Nineveh believed God. You hear the profoundness of that statement? And the people of Nineveh believed God. Do you know that if you don't believe God, you'll continue to try to cover your sin? But if you believe God, you know what you'll do? You'll do exactly what the people of Nineveh did. When God said, you're going to die, you're going to perish, you're going to be overthrown, the Word of God says the people of Nineveh believed God, and they feared God, and they confessed their sin, and they prayed to God. You know what 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 says? If my people, this is talking about God's people, not talking about dead alien sinners this morning, I'm talking about God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall do what? What's the first thing? Shall humble themselves. You know what the people at Nineveh did? The first thing they did, they humbled themselves. The Bible says they put on sackcloth and ashes. They humble themselves. And what's the second thing that 2 Chronicles 7:14 says? If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. You know what the king of Nineveh told them to do? He says, cry unto God, beg God, pray to God. They humbled themselves, they prayed, and then he says, and seek my face. That's what they did in the city of Nineveh. And then he says, and turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your wicked ways. You know what the people of Nineveh did? They believed God, they feared God, they obeyed God, they repented. And when they repented, you know what they did? What's the word? They lived. They lived. They lived. Had they not repented, had they not confessed their sin, had they not believed God, they would have died. This idea that God's some little old fellow up there that just wants everybody... Listen, our God is a sovereign God of heaven and earth, and God will not put up with sin in the lives of His people. It doesn't matter whether it's one individual or a family or a church or a nation. All God has to do is speak the word. It's all over. It's over. No doctors, no government, no army, nothing can save our nation. Nothing can save you if you try to cover your sins. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. And he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I'm glad I have a merciful Heavenly Father. I'm glad that I can turn from my evil ways. I'm glad that when I confess my sin and turn from my evil ways, I'm glad my Heavenly Father said that He'll have mercy on me. You know what every one of us needs to cry out for this morning? We need to cry out for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. You remember the two men that went into the temple to pray? One stood and prayed thus with himself. Well, I fast twice a week. He talked about all he did. The other one would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, just smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Bible says that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Confess your sins. You know what the Word of God says right here? He that covereth his sins, he that covereth his sins, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You might say, well, that's the Old Testament. Listen, brethren, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you turn to the New Testament, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, the Word of God says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess and forsake our sins, He will have mercy. Oh, brethren, it's a serious thing. It's a life and death situation. It's more important than hearing a little sermon about this is the last day of the year. Brethren, this can be the last day of your life. The calendar is not near as important as your life. You either do what's right and live, or you go ahead and cover up your sin. You know what will happen when you cover up your sin? You will not prosper. You know how I know that? It's because God said so in His Word. God's declared it. When I cover my sin, I will not prosper. But when I confess and forsake my sin, I'll live. You know what John the Baptist preached when he began preaching in the wilderness of Judea? I want you to turn in closing. Go with turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. This is beautiful. If you'll please look in your Bibles at Mark chapter 1. Please look at Mark chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and then Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. I want you to first hear what John the Baptist preached. And the Bible says that John the Baptist is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, what John the Baptist preached is just as important as what Jesus preached. I'm not saying John the Baptist is equal to Jesus. I'm saying that God's inspired Word is just as important, regardless of whether it's written in red or whether it's written in black. God's Word is true. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Mark chapter 1, listen to verses 4 and 5. Mark 1, verse 4, the Word of God says, John did baptize. You want to be baptized? You want to be baptized? You ought to want to be baptized. You ought to want to be a part of the army of God. You ought to want to come down the aisle and say, I want to be identified as a Christian. I want to be identified as a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. I want to make a public confession that Jesus is my Savior, that He saved me from my sins. John the Baptist did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance. The baptism of what? Of repentance for the what? For the remission of sins. Now, brethren, you need to rightly divide the word of truth. There is a remission of sins. There's a putting away of sins that took place at Calvary. That's what gets us into eternal heaven. But there is a remission of sins that takes place when we confess and repent and turn from our sins. That's the answer of a good conscience towards God. And that relieves us from dying while we live here in this world. Verse 5, Mark 1, verse 5. Says, and there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan. And this is the main thing I came after right here, the last three words. You know what they were doing? They didn't just get baptized. You know what they did? They were baptized, and you know what they were doing? They were confessing their sins. Do you know why? John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, Old Testament, New Testament, the message God kept sending to His people is, if you cover your sins, you'll die. If you confess your sins, you'll live. So they were confessing their sins, and they were being baptized. Come down to verses 14 and 15. That was John the Baptist we read, Mark 1, 4 and 5. Now listen to Mark 1, 14 and 15. Listen to what Jesus did. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of what? What did He come preaching? The gospel of the kingdom of God. What's the gospel of the kingdom of God? It's life and death. It's life. It's the abundant life in the kingdom of God, or death outside the kingdom of God. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What's He say? Repent. What did Jesus say? What did John the Baptist say? Repent. What does repent mean? Turn from your evil ways. Repent ye and believe what? What gospel is that that Jesus was preaching? It was the gospel of what? The gospel of the kingdom of God. That all has to do with our works, our faithfulness, and our obedience while we live here in this world. Why would you die? Why would you die, O house of Israel? Turn yourselves and live. Confess your sins and live. Cover your sins and die. The choice is ours. May God help us all, is my prayer for Christ's sake.